This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We go to the Mick Ultra Pure Gold Hotline and bring in Brian Haddad. Brian, how you doing, bud?
What's going on, man? Having a busy day, as you may or may not feel aware.
Yeah, I mean, how much did you get a sense that this Mississippi State news was coming down, the NCAA and Mississippi State partnering, I guess, to mitigate damages about a part-time student tutor who completed some classwork?
Yeah, we had been hearing rumors for about the past month and talked about them over on Super Talk on the Sports on Mississippi and on my podcast, Thunder Lightning Podcast, that there were some possible suspensions related to academic issues over the past few months. And of course, you go back to basketball season and Nick Weatherspoon being out, missing in the final, 2 months of the season, including the postseason. And he never made clear why he was suspended. But then you see today, you know, one men's basketball player, and, you know, you want to put two and two together. Obviously, nothing's official from the university there. But all in all, yeah, this is something that's been rumored to be happening. You know, you're hearing different names, different amount of time they're going to be suspended, so on and so forth. But there definitely has been a lot of smoke around Starkville the last couple of months.
Brian, can you take us through the process from the school's perspective dealing with the NCAA and just sort of how this all came down? Because I think the immediate comparison is going to go to Missouri in that this was sort of negotiated down by Mississippi State, by the school. And if that's the case, why wouldn't Missouri and how they cooperated with the NCAA be able to have that bowl game removed by negotiating and helping them in their investigation?
I was just looking at the Missouri case right before you guys called, so trying to get a little bit more information on that. Just from what I can tell, and I could be wrong on this, but it looks like Mississippi State was a little bit more proactive in finding out about what happened, whereas the Missouri tutor situation, I think, was more or less discovered by the NCAA. The NCAA hit Missouri with the failure to monitor, which, you know, that's the only step below that is lack of institutional control. Mississippi State was not charged with that in this situation. It looked like MSU, once they discovered what was going on, moved pretty swiftly, self-reported it, and got out in front of it. And that may be indeed what saved them from a postseason ban.
Brian Haddad joining us from Starkville talking Mississippi State. We're going to get to stuff actually happening on the field. And we saw our buddy Matt Wyatt, and you know Matt well. He tweeted out that, you know, the 10 players, two could possibly be in the mix for starting positions. Brian, what have you learned about the possible players that could be impacted this season for Mississippi State?
You know, I don't have a whole lot more to add to what Matt said there, but the 10 players, the rumor had been for the past couple weeks that a couple of starters were going to be out. And then the rest of these guys were either, you know, redshirt freshmen, special teams type players with their suspension. You know, it obviously hurt depth, but it wasn't going to be anything major. The interesting part to me is it's been the rumor, and apparently, I don't know if it's been confirmed yet or not, is that the NCAA is going to allow Mississippi State to pick and choose the game. So they may be able to stagger things. Obviously, you know, players are going to miss two-thirds of the season, but we'll see what games they're missing out. Joe Moorhead was asked about potential suspensions last Saturday when we met with him, and he said it would be announced on a game-to-game, week-to-week kind of basis. And I think it's going to be sort of similar to what we saw with men's basketball. Like I said, they never released a reason for Nick Weatherspoon's suspension. My guess is each week we'll get a list of guys, hey, they're not available, and we can put two and two together, but I don't think anything from the university will ever officially come out.
Brian, the news that Tommy Stevens was going to be named quarterback, I imagine that didn't catch you by surprise, but what's realistic to expect of the transfer coming in from Penn State?
Well, I mean, to me, you know, I think it's realistic for him to expect him to be better than Nick Fitzgerald as a passer. You know, I don't think he'll be the same runner that Fitzgerald was, although I think he's been very effective there on the ground. But I think that completion percentage, which was really bad a season ago, only 51%, to jump up a pretty good bit. You know, I don't know that he'll get to that 60% mark, and I certainly don't think he'll get to that 65% mark that Joe Moorhead sort of sets for his quarterback. That's a really high number. But even if he's at 57, 58%, that's going to make MSU a much more efficient offense, a much more balanced offense, and that will allow State to play more in the style that Joe Moorhead wants to play, of being able to move the ball in big chunks down the field in the vertical passing game. And it should open things up in the running game. And, of course, on the other side of that, with Stevens taking, you know, fewer snaps as a runner than Nick Fitzgerald did, I think Kylan Hill will pick up a lot of that business, and he'll be a guy who, you know, if he can average what he averaged a season ago per carry, could be a 1,200, 1,300-yard back.
Brian, what's the future hold now for Keaton Thompson? Unfortunately, that's where we are across the landscape of college football, that when a guy gets beat out, we no longer anticipate that he will stick around and either accept a backup role or continue to fight for his job. What do you expect out of Keaton Thompson in his future?
Yeah, that's a good question, because he has a lot of options available to him, and, you know, he's got a lot of information. You can see what Jalen Hurts did a season ago, or what Kelly Bryant, or so on and so forth. The thing with Keaton, remember, is he still has his redshirt year available to him. So with Stevens being a one-and-done, you know, just a grad transfer, Keaton could take a redshirt this year and then come back and attempt to win the job next season, and I would think that he would be a strong favorite to do so at that point. But at the same time, he might decide he wants to move on. I would imagine, you know, sort of similar to Kelly Bryant, we'll know something when MSU plays Kentucky. That's the fourth game of the season. We'll see what happens there if he decides to move on, if he decides to stay. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion either way as far as staying or going. I probably lean a little bit towards leaving right this second, but you never know with these guys, man. He might just really be, you know, enjoying himself at Mississippi State. Might have a girlfriend, might be really close to graduating, wants to finish up. So we'll see what happens with him. I don't think it's a much more than a coin flip either way, but we won't really know anything for sure until they get a little deeper in the season.
Brian Haydad joining us from Starkville, talking Mississippi State with us here on Three Man Front on the Mid-Culture Pure Gold Hotline. I'll give you credit. During SEC Media Days, you called it. You said, I think it's going to be Tommy Stevens. In your mind, what you observed, what you've learned from folks around the program, what separated when Tommy Stevens from Keaton Thompson?
I think he's just a better passer, and I really do think it's that simple. When you talk to Morehead at Media Days, where he talked to him since then, he said, look, both these guys are great runners. They both average, you know, 7-8 yards a carry running the football. I think they're both really good leaders. The team respects them. They buy into them. It's going to come down to who the better passer was. Keaton Thompson, as good an athlete as he was, in the limited game time he had shown us, he's a sub-50% passer. Tommy Stevens, limited attempts as well, but a 58% passer. And I think going into practice, if you listen to Morehead's comments yesterday, he said, Tommy Stevens was just the better passer. We have to be better at passing the football, so that's the way we're going to go. So Stevens is going to be the guy.
Brian, what do you expect in terms of, you know, what you gathered in terms of knowledge, talking to the people around the program and then looking at the schedule, now trying to figure out how Tommy Stevens fits into the win-loss total? What kind of season are you expecting there?
Well, State's going to have six games right off the top where I think they're going to be, you know, a pretty decent favorite, and that's their 4-9 conference games, plus against Arkansas and Ole Miss. And then you have two games that, you know, you could call toss-up games, swing games, whatever you want to call them. That's the home game with Kentucky and against Tennessee on the road. Yeah, it's tough to win on the road. Tennessee, to me, is a program that I think they may be another year away. So that's a game State could win. You know, Kentucky handled them actually pretty easily last year, but a lot of that, you know, their top players are gone, and that game's in Starkville. That's a game you think MSU could win. So that gets you to 8 wins right there. You know, and then a game with Auburn, Texas A&M. Auburn, you know, I know some of your listeners will be mad at me, but I'm not that big on Auburn this year. I'm really not seeing them being as one of the top programs in the SEC. A&M is a series they've won 4 of the last 5 in. So there's a possibility. You know, those games aren't, I wouldn't call them toss-ups right now, but then, you know, State's not a prohibitive underdog the way they would be against Alabama or maybe even LSU. I think State could probably get to 8 wins. 7 if things go wrong a little bit, maybe on the road at Tennessee. But I think this is going to be another bowl team and a pretty good one at that.
Brian, what's the news? What's the feel? What are you hearing about this Mississippi State defense, specifically the defensive line coming out of fall camp?
Well, the line obviously is, you know, looking to replace some big time players, and Jeff Simmons and Montez Sweat, both first round picks. They also lost a ton of depth, guys like Braxton Hoyette and Gary Green and Corey Thomas, guys who played a lot of snaps last year. At end, they have a lot of returning experience, although they didn't start very much. Chauncey Rivers has been there. Fletcher Adams, Kobe Jones, Marquis Spencer. I like that group. It's inside that you have to worry. You know, Lee Autry is a JUCO transfer who's played a little bit last year. Kendall Jones is a redshirt senior who hasn't made much of a contribution so far. And then behind those guys, you've got freshmen. A couple of redshirt guys, and Fabian Lovett and Jaden Crumley. True freshman Nathan Pickering, who was one of the top recruits in the country last year. So they kind of figure that out pretty quick. The good news is you've got a great linebacking core back there. You know, Willie Gay, Errol Thompson, Leo Lewis. So you feel pretty good in the second level of the defense, but the defensive tackle probably was the biggest question before quarterback. Now that that's been answered, it goes to the top.
All right, Brian Haydad. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian Haydad, joining us from Starkville, Mississippi. Always great stuff and great news, Brian. We got college football, real college football that counts starting tomorrow.
Cannot wait. I will be watching.
All right. We'll talk to you later on as the season begins. That's Brian Haydad joining us from the great state of Mississippi, talking Mississippi State football and athletics. He joined us on the Mick Ultra Pure Gold Hotline. Ultra Pure Gold, a great-tasting golden lager made with organic grains, fewer calories and carbs than Ultra, and a clean, balanced finish.
This is Three Man Front.